This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, what's going on right now? I'm talking with Jake from Judiciary. They actually just dropped a new record. It's metal as hell. It's out on Closed Casket Records, and it's actually called Flesh and Blood. You can pick it up. You can pick it up on compact disc. You can pick it up on vinyl. You can pick it up on digital. You can stream it. Just check it out, man. This band has been going for almost 10 years now. And I actually talked with a couple of your members when Gate Creeper came through. They were in studio and we were talking a little bit about you. So we introduced you that way. And now I get to sit down and chat with the singer. So how are you doing today, man? You're at home in Texas?
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. It's kind of a rainy day in San Antonio, Texas.
Really?
So yeah, we're filling up the rivers right now so I can float them when summertime comes. But I just got over being sick for a couple weeks because I had a sinus infection. So I'm feeling good. I like rainy days. Me and my dog just hang out all day, so I'm good.
Nice, man. So the Texas pride is alive and well with this. What I'm seeing here, you got the horns behind you, you got the Power Trip shirt on, dude. I talked with Trey from Creeping Death about a year ago, and I kind of asked him about, oh, and that's obviously for anyone who's not listening right or not watching right now. He's wearing a Power Trip shirt. So I talked with Trey from Creeping Death, and he was talking about how there's so much unity in Texas metal and hardcore scene. You guys really look out for each other. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, Trey is. I love Creeping Death.
Yeah.
Creeping Death is like some of our best friends. Trey is awesome, and he's right. Especially the bands that came up within hardcore and have kind of branched out between the Power Trips, the Creeping Death, Frozen Soul, Fugitive, Scourge,
yeah.
Even branching out to like bands like Narrowhead. They're Texas hardcore guys through and through. So like it's a rising tide that lifts all ships, and we're always looking to pull each other up. And I think that's pretty awesome.
Hell yeah, man. And there's some incredible death metal too, like Devourment, and just so much good, sick, like Texas metal. But, it all comes back, man. Growing up, were you a big fan of Pantera, and what did they mean to you as far as Texas representation?
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you weren't a fan of Pantera, what are you doing, man? I probably got into heavier music when I was like 12 mm-hmm. or so. Obviously like the first Pantera song I heard is Walk.
Yep.
So like a bunch of other people in this world. And obviously like Anselmo's voice caught me, and like obviously there's no denying like Dimes riffs, everything about them like was so inspiring. And I think you can hear that in our music. Like we kind of wear it on our sleeves. Israel, who you talk to, our guitarist, like he, it's so obvious that he was listening to, it sounds like he was listening to Dimebag in the womb. That's how like,
that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, man, Pantera is, was kind of the blueprint musically for the Texas sound. So like makes sense.
Awesome, man. So, you kind of mentioned it, you know, your early memories of like hearing Walk, but it was probably on the radio or on MTV. You know, before we jumped in, you were chatting, you jumped into the actual interview. You were chatting about how you heard you guys had a big rock radio station down in Lubbock, and you heard, you know, a metal radio show. And I always love shouting out the metal specialty radio shows because they're few and far between these days, you know, with, the way radio goes and everything, they don't always stick around. So, luckily Metal Shop has, but you know, what's the show you heard and let's shout this guy out. When was that?
So that was when I was younger, probably when I was like in middle school to maybe earlier than that, maybe like elementary till I was in high school.
Yeah.
Maybe later. I'm not totally sure. But it was a show that was called Everything Goes Black.
Amazing.
And it was on KFMX 94.5. And it was hosted by this guy named Rooster, Richard Martin, I believe was his name.
Dick Martin.
And, nice. Yeah. But he would play a mix of stuff. Like that was, I heard a bunch of like the first times I listened to like bands like Hatebreed was on there. I heard the Black Dahlia Murder for the first time on there. I remember listening to like Behemoth and stuff like that. So he would play some pretty like heavy stuff, and like they would promote like the heavier shows mm-hmm. on the radio station. So like I remember, especially when I was in like early high school, I was in marching band. Mm-hmm. So we would go to the football games every Friday night. And then I would still be awake after the football game. So I would go home and turn on Everything Goes Black. And that would be like how I found a bunch of music, which is really cool.
Absolutely, man. So what was your first, like, was that your first love, or did you get into music before that? Were you into like, you know, were you like into like Blink-182 when you were a little kid, or were you into Black Sabbath? What was your first favorite band?
So, when I was growing up, there was always kind of music around. Like my mom really liked like a bunch of pop music. Like she loves like Michael Jackson, Prince, stuff like that. So like I would listen to that in her car. And then when I went into my dad's truck, we would listen to a bunch of like classic rock and metal. So like a bunch of Stevie Ray Vaughan. He liked like Meatloaf a lot. And like I remember listening to like Blizzard of Oz in his truck a bunch. But then he liked other stuff. He kind of like set the blueprint for my music taste. Like later on, obviously I went way more extreme. But like he liked like stuff like Jim Croce, and, he played a bunch of like Marvin Gaye,
awesome.
And everything like that. So he had a pretty broad music taste too. But yeah, he kind of like planted the metal seed in my brain early on. And then, the first thing that I felt was like my own, like when I found it, was the first CD I ever bought with my own money that I got from like doing chores around the house, was a Newfound Glory record.
Okay.
It was the record Catalyst. And I believe that was in like 2004. So I was like 9 years old.
That starts off with like that Youth Crew hardcore song. I remember that.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that probably planted the hardcore
mm-hmm.
seed in my brain early on too.
Yeah.
But that was like my first like thing that was like, I felt was like, this is mine.
Totally.
And then from that, I just kind of went deeper down the rabbit hole. From that, I found like the radio rock bands at the time that were really hot, like Papa Roach's Avenged Sevenfold, stuff like that. And then I found Slipknot.
Okay.
Which was like the big game changer, because I couldn't believe how heavy they were. And then from there, that was when deathcore was super hot. So like Suicide Silence and Whitechapel and bands like that kind of took me there. And then I bought a Terror CD.
Okay.
Keepers of the Faith. And then that didn't grab me that much at first. And then I listened to Bitter End's Climate of Fear.
Nice.
And that's what pulled me towards hardcore through and through. And then I get back into death metal throughout there. Yep. And like, you know, and then I, you know, I like everything now, but I'm a hardcore kid through and through as an adult. So, yeah.
So you mentioned deathcore, it kind of like the Suicide Silence and stuff. Is it wild to you that there's kind of like a nostalgic renaissance of deathcore now? And like people are like Taylor Young doing the Suicide Silence new record. And there's like bands that are straight up embracing like the like MySpace era of deathcore. You know, is that kind of wild to you?
It is wild to me because it's like, especially also, I texted Taylor when I found out that he was doing the Suicide Silence record. That is like 2 13-year-old me and 27-year-old me just shaking hands in another universe. And record happens. So that's like really cool. But yeah, it's super crazy to me. And like some of those bands are doing it well. Like it's obviously like not totally for me anymore. But like, I like that style is coming back. Cause that's what grabbed me. Like bands like Tactosa are doing it really well. I think there's another band.
I got to check them out.
They sound like the Cleansing era Suicide Silence. It's really good for what they do. Again, not totally my thing anymore, but I respect the hustle.
Yeah.
And there's another band from Florida, I believe, called Tracheotomy. Uh-huh. They also sound like they were from that ilk.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy to me that like what hooked me as a kid is going to start hooking other people now.
I should have kept my like I Declare War and Misericordia merch. It could go for like a bunch of money on Depop now, you know. So
probably, man.
I just like that. I like that deathcore isn't like an insulting word anymore. It's just like no, it's just, you know, kids. And now it's just like kids will like anything. I love that. You know, I'm probably, you know, I'm 37, so I'm older than you. And you know, when I first started getting into underground music, it was like so segmented and kind of elitist with, you know, you're into hardcore. And if you can't really bring the metal in the hardcore and then, you know, deathcore, emo, and everything was just like, you know, it's just now these days kids, I think because of, you know, how ease of, you know, listening to everything. Just open-minded kids like anything. You could listen to Post Malone and then listen to Judiciary and no one bats an eye. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's like cool. Like you said, like there was pretty hard divides like before. And I feel like people can do a little bit more of what the fuck they feel like now. But like when you kind of like listen to a bunch of like older records in today's context, you can see that like there were bands that like were kind of sneaky with it. Like they just kind of like a band like All Out War.
Oh yeah.
So metal, but like they're the coolest hardcore band that people are just throwing spin kicks to. And then like, you know, the pure definition of deathcore is death metal hardcore.
Yeah.
The band Confusion from New York.
Yeah, I just heard them on This Is Hardcore podcast.
Yeah, Confusion is like awesome. And like I feel like there's I don't know. It's just crazy that like now it feels like there's less barriers for people like trying to experiment with new stuff. It's really cool.
I mean, you know, Internal Bleeding, it's kind of deathcore. They got, you know, slam parts and then like, you know, and I remember interviewing 10 years ago or so, I remember interviewing Dying Fetus and talking to them about deathcore. And they were like, no, it's not a bad word. You know, they said like, you know, they don't necessarily call themselves deathcore, but they always put, you know, mosh parts in their music, you know, and it's like, it's just, you know, what it kind of became, what it kind of represented, you know, kind of became a bad word or whatever. But either way, we digress. New album.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Is it difficult sharing a member with Gatekeeper? They're pretty full-time men, you know. Are you guys is it difficult, or you guys work it out?
We work it out, man. Like it's difficult because it's like, you know, Gatekeeper is very obviously like doing a lot bigger and more stuff than we are. So Israel, you know, is kind of splitting his time, but he's willing to do what he can to help us out. And we have a group of people around us that's willing to help us out. If Israel can't do something, we have somebody to plug in. So like, we're good. And like, on a personal note, that guy's been my best friend since I was a teenager. Like, I'm happy. He's in Australia right now hugging a koala. Incredible. As we're recording this. Yeah. So it's like, I'm just happy that my best friend is getting to do really cool shit.
Yeah.
And he's a full-time rocker now. So it's like, how can I not be happy for him? But yeah, it's, and it's like, if there's any band that I would love my best friend to split time with playing with our band,
yeah,
it's Gatekeeper. Like, those guys are awesome. I love those guys, and their band's really good. So
awesome, man. Do you ever envision yourself doing this full time, or you kind of, you know, just enjoy doing it while you can, and you have a 9-to-5? Do you have the quote unquote normie job?
I do have the normie job. Yeah. I think that in 2023, it's very hard to not have one.
Yeah.
There are very few bands within our space now that can afford to not have a full-time job, or at least a part-time job.
Or a hustle or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you gotta be doing something. Cause like, it's very, there's very few bands out there that are living off of their band full-time. And that's just the state of affairs.
Maybe 10.
Straight up. Like, and like, would I like to be doing it full-time? Hell yeah, man. But, you know, it's a labor of love and passion. And, I love being able to be afforded the opportunities that we've been able to be afforded. Like, we're a band from Lubbock, Texas. We weren't supposed to do anything. And the fact that we've done a bunch of cool stuff is all I can ask for. So
that's awesome, man. So, what do you mind me asking? What's your, you know, normie job? I work in shipping. I also work at I'm a writer part time, and then I also do all kinds of random tasks. You know, radio, doing a metal radio show, surprisingly, isn't my full time job. Also, so
yeah, I work a sales job in, okay, like the industrial space, I like what I do. I think I'm pretty decent at sales.
Ace from Mutually Assured Destruction. I think he does a similar thing.
Yep, he does. But yeah, I think it's good. It's good for what it is. And
yeah.
I also, like, on the side of doing music, that kind of like handles my, you know, creative ache, I guess is a good way to put it. I also do like some freelance graphic design here or there. I've done some work for Ace and his band. That's MAD. Awesome. So yeah, been, that kind of scratches another itch too. So.
You do the Judiciary artwork?
No, I can't. So for some reason, I have like a creative block with Judiciary. I think it's just because I'm so obsessive.
You're too close to it.
Yeah, like I can't. I look at something for too long, and I just like, I know I just can't get it onto the Photoshop screen.
Yeah.
Like what I really want. And anything I do, it's just like, I don't feel like it's good enough. So we commission most of that stuff out. I'll do like little stuff here and there for us. But like, as far as like big bulk design stuff, it's just like, nah, I'm not gonna mess with that. I'm not gonna put myself through that. So
have you done any album covers, or is it mostly t-shirts, or?
I've done a few album covers for smaller bands. I've done some layouts, but I've done a bunch of t-shirts. That's kind of where I find myself doing my best work. Awesome. I've done t-shirts for, I guess bands of bigger note, like the Acacia Strain, Kublai Khan. I did one for Knock Loose a while back. I've done some other genres, like 4 Year Strong. I did a couple of shirts for them. I also did a shirt from, it's one of my favorite things I've ever done, actually. It's a country band from Lubbock called Flatline Cavalry.
Cool.
I know somebody in their crew, and they let me do a shirt for them. I just did like a 90s George Strait style shirt for them, and they loved it. They said it was like one of their best selling shirts. So yeah.
That's the thing, man, it's interesting. And you know, I don't know if you're on a time limit or anything, but we've kind of digressed from talking about the new Judiciary album, but this is very interesting to me. If you're cool with talking about this, I'll go see, you know, Phoebe Bridgers, right? And you look at her merch table, and she's nothing to do with hardcore, but you see a t-shirt and it has the, like, you know, band name down the side. And it's like kind of taking on the aesthetics of either death metal or like a hardcore thing. And you're like, this is really interesting. And then you kind of like do some, you know, backwards math, and you realize it's probably a hardcore kid who was really good at, you know, that aesthetic, and take their really creative imagery and also, you know, kind of networking skills, and then got, you know, a cool job. Like you just said, you know, working with a country artist outside of that world, but you take this creativity and, I don't know, it's really interesting. As far as, you know, getting into that world, if anyone's listening now and they want to get into design, or they think, you know, that sounds pretty interesting, is that something that it's all networking? It's all just meeting people?
In a way, yeah. But like, I'd be lying if I said I haven't sent out a million DMs to managers, I've scoured the internet looking for emails for managers and everything like that, trying to find contacts. But a bunch of it is like networking. Like, I met the Acacia Strain guys, the Kublai Khan guys, and the Knock Loose guys all through playing shows. The best way I can think of, so you're trying to learn graphic design, go to your closet, find the coolest shirt that you can see, look at it, examine it, and see what you like about it. A bunch of death metal shirts, for example. Oh, this looks like scanned and weird and kind of gross. Like, how did they make it look like that? You can YouTube how to make scanned thing in Photoshop or something like that, or how to make a metal album and cover in Photoshop. And they'll literally show you step by step. And basically what I did is I just went off the rails and just experimented with little settings and everything like that to try to see what worked and what I liked. It's painstaking. It's a process just like anything else, but like, that's what you got to do. Yeah, if you're hungry and you make good stuff, good things will come. I've seen, you know, to your point of like, oh, I you know, through some backtracking, I found out that a hardcore kid was behind this. A bunch of major record label creative projects, like a Phoebe Bridgers to like a Post Malone to a bunch of other stuff. A lot of that was just a bunch of hardcore kids on Photoshop that started making shirts for their friends' bands, eventually got to that point.
Travis Riley from This Is Hell is one of the heads of like the imaging and or like the creative art side of Warner Brothers Music. And like, I mean, he's an old hardcore kid. I used to go see his band at you know, the VFW hall. So that's a great example.
Yeah, Isaiah, the singer for the band Twist of Cain out of LA, he is the person that I'm talking about that works on a bunch of these creative projects for like big rappers. He's done shirts for like, what did he do a shirt for? or he did like a whole album cover for like Tiana Taylor.
Wow.
He's like worked with like Post Malone's creative team. I don't know. I'm not sure what capacity, but I know he's been in those rooms.
Yeah.
So like he like, yeah. And that just started him doing shirts for bands here in San Antonio where he's from. One little tangent I want to go off on, like when you said that you found a Phoebe Bridgers shirt that looked like a four-side death metal long sleeve. I saw Julian Baker a couple years ago.
She's also in Boy Genius with Phoebe Bridgers, right?
With Phoebe, yeah. And Julian had a shirt that looked like a Nails long sleeve, basically. And but what's funny about that is she's a hardcore kid.
Oh, really?
She went to our show in Nashville when we played in Knocked Loose, and she showed up in an Incendiary shirt. And
that's awesome.
She talked to us, and she was like, yeah, I'm from, like, I forget where she said she was from, but she's super nice. And she was like, yeah, I used to listen to, like, Earth Crisis, and, like, a bunch of my friends were straight edge and everything like that. And, like,
okay, Julian.
I wouldn't be amazing. Surprised if Phoebe gets it, too. Like, yeah. Honestly.
That's cool.
So, yeah. I mean, Haley Williams' favorite band is Turnstile. She knows who Terror is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
She had freaking, what's his name? St. Toby from H2O on a song. So, you know, and she would wear American Nightmare shirts. So it's, you know, kind of crazy. That's a wild world, man. Like seeing Turnstile on Jimmy Kimmel and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty cool, man. But like you said, like, you know, all... with the Texas thing, high tide raises all ships. Is that what you were saying? So
mm-hmm.
Beautiful thing, man. so right now going on right now is, LDB, not to date this, but going out down in, where is that? Is that Oklahoma or
Louisville, Kentucky?
Louisville, Kentucky is LDB, Life and Death Brigade Festival. What's like your favorite fest you've ever been to? And you guys have probably played some overseas, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to give two different answers to this because it's just two different sides of the coin.
Sure.
I think for American Fest, it's got to be LDB. I loved playing Sound and Fury. We played the first Sound and Fury the year it came back, and it was awesome. But we've played LDB like three times at this point.
It's fun.
And three of the best sets we've ever played, man. Like, they are always so welcoming to us. The crowd is always amazing. I'm sure after this year, there's going to be like 8 viral clips that'll go around. And like
Jack is going to like react to one of them, you know, just like
exactly.
Speed.
Yeah. So like, as far as American Fest go, LDB is insane. The fact that thousands of people will fly to Louisville, Kentucky, from all sides of the country. And now like, I think I saw that people were flying from like all around the world this year, to Kentucky for a fest says something about what they're doing. For international though, we played Hellfest last year and wow. Like it was the craziest day of my life. Honestly. Our day was insane. It was headlined by Metallica. I got to see bands that
Metallica.
Technically, we're on another stage, but the
in 70 other bands, yes,
yeah, yeah, exactly. We were like band 10 of 86. So, but yeah, it was like Metallica headlined our day. As a music fan, I got to see a bunch of bands I wanted. I got to see Merciful Fate. I got to see Carcass. I got to see Triptychon. Like it was a great day.
That Triptychon doing like an old Celtic Frost set.
No, it was full on Triptychon with selected Celtic Frost songs within. Like they opened with Procreation of the Wicked.
So sick.
Because they have to. But like they went into full, like they played all the stuff I wanted to, like Goetia and like Altar of Deceit. And stuff, Altered Seat. God, I could go on all day about Triptychon. But like,
I saw them here in El Corazon at a small venue in Seattle, and it was like a third full. I was like, what is going on here, man?
Triptychon, people don't appreciate Triptychon as much as they should, in my opinion.
They slept on it, dude.
Dude, it's awesome. Like, I get why it might not be for some people, but if you just like heavy music and you go to a Triptychon show, you'll be sitting there listening, just like bobbing your head. And then every like 2 minutes, they will play the heaviest thing you've ever heard in your entire life. Like the breakdown part, I guess you could call it the breakdown part to Altar of Deceit. I remember vividly the first time listening to that I showed it to the Judiciary guys in the van when we were driving from Connecticut to New York one time. And our drummer Austin was in the back bench asleep. And that breakdown part happened and he rose up like the Undertaker and just said, "What is this?"
That's amazing.
So yeah, listen to Triptychon. They rock. But yeah, Hellfest was awesome. Catering was cool. I accidentally physically ran into Sam from Bolt Thrower because Memoriam played. So that was cool. He looked like a wizard. I love Bolt Thrower. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you're thinking of Triptychon. I can imagine this tour, heaviest tour ever. Crowbar, Triptychon, Godflesh. You imagine that? That would be freaking awesome. Let's make it happen, dude.
World couldn't handle it, honestly.
Now that I'm bringing up dream stuff, Ingrown from Idaho, sort of close to Washington here. They just announced they're going to be going on tour with freaking Obituary and Immolation. Shout out to them. What's like your dream? Like two either death metal or hardcore bands that you would just be like, sign me up, dude. Let's go.
So if I can I take a band that's no longer touring?
Absolutely, man. There's no rules with this fun game.
Okay. So this would be a crazy lineup. I'm going to go a four band package, us opening. How about that?
Let's go. You don't want to
headlining. No, we don't deserve a headline spot here. Headlining Slayer.
Awesome.
Direct support. Sepultura Cavalera lineup. Playing hits off of Arise, Chaos AD, Beneath the Remains. You know, the Cavalera records, obviously. Yep. Three of four, All Out War.
Jesus.
Four of four, Judiciary.
Wow.
And then I'm sold. Sign me up. I'll go for months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
World tour. It's like
imagine All Out War on a Slayer bill. People would love them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So and Slayer did like how many legs of their final tour, you know? It was basically like 3 years. Just put that out on the road for 3 years. And
what's one more? What's one more?
I think, you know, I honestly, and this is a reason why I wanted to do this interview is I think, you know, I come from hardcore too, but I love metal and I love punk and I love all this stuff. But I think that, you know, Judiciary playing in front of, you know, just like a straight up headbanger metal, like Hesher crowd, they'd love you guys. Like, you know, there's a band here from Tacoma, kind of comes from hardcore, Denial of Life. They play in front of a thrash. And people just like old dudes come out with Denial of Life hoodies and they're just like, this rocks, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
metal crowds,
a little bit more open-minded than hardcore crowds. Just going to say.
Yeah. Well, it depends on the metal crowd. It depends on the patron because when we toured with Exhumed and Gate Creeper,
I remember that tour. Yep.
The amount of dudes with their arms crossed and Mayhem shirts while we were playing, I vividly remember. But
that was when you had short hair, dude. That was when you had short hair, man. Come on.
That is true. I fit the bill way more now. I saw some comment say that I looked like Ronnie from Jersey Shore. Nice. One time. I was like, I guess, man, I'm not tan enough for that. Yeah, it depends on the crowd, I guess. But I'm down to play in front of a metal crowd. I think that we would pop off.
Nice, man. So let's back to the new record. The reason why we're doing this chat. So it's out now, Flesh and Blood. You guys going to be doing some touring? You guys played JAG, right? Just another gig up here in Tacoma. So
we did play Just Another Gig right after Denial of Life, and they covered All Out War. And
that's
it was
amazing.
Awesome. Bring yeah. So that band was great. Also, I got to shout out Seattle Tacoma local. I think they claim Federal Way. But
Predator.
Apex Predator. That band is unbelievable. I love that band. Shout out Joey from Apex Predator and Gag. Yeah, we played Jag and it was a great set, man. As far as like touring off this record, we have some stuff in the works. I don't think I can really talk about yet, but the best I can say is we will be around and up and around. So hopefully you can catch us in a city near you.
Okay, sounds good. You guys with Slayer, All Out War, and Sepultura. Sounds good,
man. Yeah, well, yeah. Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay, so my question for you to end this, dude, is a question that I ask every person in any interview. I also do wrestling. I do a wrestling podcast for a local company here. So even ask them this question. Pick a scar on your body. Show us if you can, but tell us the story of how you got the scar.
So you see that strip missing out of my eyebrow?
Oh yeah. Looks like a little, yeah. Cut
yeah.
there to look cool.
Yeah. That is, not something I'd put there on purpose. So when I was 15 years old, I was at a show in Lubbock and I believe it was, Veil of Maya and Within the Ruins.
Okay.
Very, very 2010 show. Oh,
I can picture the album. I can picture the ad mat for the actual show. I can totally picture it. It's like very bright.
Yeah, absolutely. but I was at that show and I decided to pit for a little bit because those were my kind of bands at the time.
Yeah.
And I get in the pit and there was a grown man moshing and I believe he had a ring on and he hit me and it wasn't like a wedding ring. It was like it felt like it was a Super Bowl ring, how big it was.
Jesus.
Yeah. Like it was a huge ring. And so
like one of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah. I get caught right in my eyebrow and I'm like, it's one of those things where like you get hit and you're like, okay, I know that hurt. But yeah. I know I don't know how bad it is. Like, it wasn't like, ow, my God. I wasn't dizzy, nothing. I was just like, okay, I know that hurt. Let me step aside. So I step aside and I feel it and I look and I see blood on my hand. And I look at my friend Jacob and I'm like, hey, like, what's going on here? And he looks at me with like this state of shock. And he's just like, oh, like, you got to go to the restroom right now. And I was like, okay, so the venue in Lubbock, it's called Jake's. It's the venue is in the back of a sports bar. So you to go to the restroom, you have to walk through the sports bar to get to the restroom.
Yeah.
And so the second I turn the corner into the sports bar, I just see all these families eating and guys drinking beer. And they're like, oh, ah, ooh, ah. And so I'm like, oh, no. Before I walk in the bathroom, Jacob's like, hey, man, before I let you see this, like, you got to promise me you won't freak out. And I was like, is it that bad? And he was like, just promise me you won't freak out. And I was like, okay, I promise I won't freak out. I walk into the restroom and I look in the mirror and I look like a caveman. Like, there is a golf ball size, I think it's a hematoma. There's a golf ball size hematoma just on my forehead / eyebrow. That's huge. And I'm like, oh, and there's just blood streaming down the side of my face. And so I go back, I clean myself up in the restroom. I go back to the venue. I'm just like icing it down the rest of the night. And then Jacob drives me home at the end of the night. I go, my mom, after I would get home from shows, would like wake up, come to my room and just say, you have a good time?
Yeah.
That night she comes to my room. I turn and she sees what happened. She doesn't even say anything. She just goes, throws her hands up and just walks back in the bedroom. And so I go to sleep. I wake up, huge black eye.
Yeah.
Like my eye is yellow, everything's black. And so I go to school that day, and obviously everybody, like, I have my hood up, I'm trying to hide it. Everybody at school is just like, "What happened to you? You get in a fight?" And I'm like, "No." And then I'm in second period, and I just hear over the intercom, I think I was a freshman at the time or sophomore, they were like, "All sophomores to the library for picture day." And I'm like, "Oh God." So I go to the library, and the teacher that was handling it, Miss Moore, she's like, "Okay, everybody, you go to this wall, you go to this wall." She's like directing traffic, and she catches eyes with me, and she goes, "Jake, we'll get you on retakes. Don't worry about it." And then so I was like, "Okay." And I just went back to class. And luckily retakes were like 2.5-3 weeks after that.
Nice.
So I got a decent picture on retakes. My eye was still a little green, but like it was good.
That would have actually been really hilarious if that was your photo, though.
Oh my God, that would have been horrible. Like, people would have been looking for that, like, for years to come at that yearbook, being like, "What was going on with that kid? Is he okay?
Are his parents, you know, do we need to call CPS?"
They're looking through other pages of the school yearbook to see if any other kid has a black eye, to see who I fought or something like that. Jesus. You know?
That's a good story, man. I appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.